On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of The Left Wing. So it's a clean sweep of wins for Ireland this November. They've beaten Australia 13 points to 10 at the Aviva Stadium, which makes it a record-equaling 12th victory at home for Ireland. Now, Keane Tracy is at the Aviva Stadium for us. Keane, they got the win. There were joyous scenes at the end when Craig Casey kicked the ball out. And Andy Farrell just said there that they found a way to win. But it wasn't the game or the performance we expected from Ireland.
No, that's putting it lightly, Sinead. It was scrappy. It was ill-disciplined from both teams, you'd have to say. I was just looking at the final penalty count there. It was 12 penalties each. And once you go above double digits, it's not usually acceptable at international level, particularly for an Irish team who pride themselves on their discipline. The Aussies have been pretty indisciplined all year, and it's hampered them. But yeah, look, a lot. Like, I don't even know where to start with the sloppiness. The maul was sloppy. The breakdown was an absolute mess. I thought Ben O'Keefe's officiating of it maybe played into that a little bit. Both teams seem to have major frustrations with it. James Slipper all afternoon in his ear, you could hear it on the ref mic. The Aussies were furious with how Ireland were, what they said, lying on the wrong side. But I think Ireland were equally frustrated as well. So all in all, it made for a scrappy watch. We thought the atmosphere might be raucous with the 8 o'clock kickoff. It wasn't really. And you know what? I wouldn't really blame the crowd for that. I just don't think the team gave them enough to shout about. Now, to be fair, in the build-up to the try, and it was a really well-worked try, it was a long time coming. A huge roar went up even when they put the ball into the corner for the line-out. So it was disappointing, a disappointing performance. I think you probably, Andy Farrell will probably look at the positives, but I think behind the scenes he'll know that this won't be good enough going forward into next year. But they've, like you said there, Sinead, they found a way to get a job done, and that's not a bad trait to have as a team. We've seen them be sensational over the summer in New Zealand, but if you're able to develop a habit of winning ugly as well, that's no bad thing. Because I think I made this point on one of our pods before, the journey from here until the World Cup, which is exactly what this is not going to be plain sailing. There's going to be hiccups along the way, but if a hiccup counts as beating Australia 13-10 at home, then you take that every day of the week, wouldn't you?
Like, the words Andy Farrell used last week about that performance against Fiji were like awful and underwhelming, and he definitely, from what I just saw right there, has come out a bit more positive. But as you say there, Keane, what is this telling us about where Ireland are at now? Because we'll get on to Johnny Sexton and his withdrawal in a while, but what does it tell us about where Ireland are at?
Well, that is the elephant in the room, that Johnny Sexton wasn't playing again today, and the standards did drop. It's been a strange November, I think, overall. Like, I mean, the results have obviously been good if you look at just pure three wins. And like you said, they've set a record equaling 12th consecutive home win. But there's been the attack hasn't really fired in all cylinders. It's been really patchy. I think in terms of building depth, it hasn't been, I would say, overly encouraging, apart from a few guys like, you know, Jimmy O'Brien has obviously made huge strides coming in. But I think overall, I think Andy Farrell would have liked to have gotten a little bit more from the month. So where does it tell that Ireland are? Well, they're going to finish the year as the number one ranked team in the world. I think everyone would probably take that with a pinch of salt, particularly when, you know, you look at that game that France and South Africa played last week. So I don't think anyone internally especially will be getting overly excited. But again, if you're building a habit of winning ugly, it's no bad thing. And just to touch on the Johnny Sexton thing, I think that is a concern, if I'm being honest. You know, you think back to Paris was the game that they lost in the Six Nations. Johnny Sexton wasn't playing. Ireland, you know, left their standards drop there. He went off in the first test in New Zealand. Ireland left their standards drop there as well, and they ended up losing the game. And he comes back for the second and third test, and they win the series. And, you know, last week we had Joey Carberry coming into the team, and okay, it was a pretty underwhelming performance against Fiji, but it was a little bit similar today, I thought, for Jack Crowley. He didn't do a whole pile wrong, but it's very hard to replace. I mean, you're over in Monaco, Sinead. Johnny Sexton could be crowned World Rugby Player of the Year potentially tomorrow. So it's very difficult to come in and replace a guy of that caliber. But ultimately, that's what Andy Farrell needs. To me, the way Johnny Sexton kind of pulled out last minute, you had a guy like Ross Byrne, and we'll obviously get on and talk about him. But it felt like almost a World Cup scenario, because we've seen this story happen so many times with late injuries and guys having to come in. But I still think it's concerning. I still think you're coming away from November thinking Ireland are very, very reliant on Johnny Sexton to get the attack moving, because so many dropped balls, like, which you can't really legislate for, but it's just standards. And Andy Farrell has really, you know, set those standards high. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I haven't been down to the press conference yet, but it's interesting to hear that his initial thoughts on TV were positive, because I think privately, like, he'll be letting the players know that if that was going into Six Nations, like, a performance like that isn't going to be good enough, and definitely not going to a World Cup with a performance like that be good enough.
Do you think Sexton's late withdrawal, and we just heard about it 15 minutes before the start of the game, do you think that really rattles them? Prime were reporting that it was because of a calf injury that he picked up in the warm-up and not that dead leg that he had from the South Africa game. But they kind of looked rattled at the start. And there was that drop ball from Jameson Gibson-Park as well.
Yeah, so the official line from the IRFU, Sinead, is that it was a calf injury. Now, I saw there's a picture doing the rounds of him doing the captain's toss, and you can see his leg is heavily strapped. So maybe it was the dead leg that hadn't quite recovered. But you know what? Like, this, it was a great opportunity for Jack Crowdy to come in. And, you know, I do agree. I think Ireland probably were a little bit rattled, because not only are you losing your talismanic out half, you're losing your captain as well. So Peter O'Mahony has to step in now. You know, that's no bother to him at all, but losing a player of that caliber and your captain when you've been training all week together, of course it's going to have a knock-on effect. But you know, again, if we're looking at it through the prism of a World Cup, it's no harm to have that now rather than in, you know, France next year, when Johnny Sexton, there's no guarantee that he's going to play every game, particularly given his injury record. So Jack Crowley came in and he did fine. But I think, like I said, like Joey Carberry did fine last week as well. But at this level, fine doesn't really cut it, particularly if, you know, you want to take the jersey off at a 37-year-old. So I think plenty to work on, but certainly I wouldn't be pinning the blame at all on the sloppiness on Jack Crowley. I thought the pack had a really tough evening. Like I said, the breakdown was an absolute mess as well. So it's very hard to gain momentum off the back of that.
Yeah, you've mentioned two of the out halves today. We haven't mentioned Ross Byrne. Like, it looked like that Bundiaki try after 66 minutes might have done it for Ireland, but then obviously Australia replied. And Ross Byrne, who wasn't even meant to be in the matchday squad, stepped up. And, you know, a pretty good clutch kick from him. And you'd be happy for him to have done that as well.
What a moment. I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be in the squad, obviously, all week. He came in on Monday evening when Johnny Sexton was still carrying that dead leg. And, you know, if people are calling a spade and being honest here, you know, Ross Byrne's international future looked really in doubt, because he just hasn't really featured that often under Andy Farrell. I think his last appearance was against France in the 2021 Six Nations. And, you know, he's been overtaken by Jack Crowley, obviously, Kieran Frawley's been in there. But in fairness to him, if there's one thing that you can always rely on Ross Byrne, it's a clutch kick. We've seen him do it time and time again for Leinster. I even remember the clutch kick he kicked against Ulster here at the Aviva in the Champions Cup quarter final a few years ago. So it was a massive, massive kick. It was a massive moment for him personally. And like you said, you can't but be happy for a guy like that. You know, he won't be naive enough to know that, like, a lot of people were writing him off. Now, I don't know what it means in terms of his, you know, international aspirations going forward, but Andy Farrell knows that he has a guy there that he can rely on when it comes to the crunch. Because, I mean, with the stakes that high, and the kick was so tough, like, it was on the angle, on the touchline, and he bisected the post, like, absolutely bisected it. So a brilliant, brilliant moment. And the roar that went up at the Aviva here was class. Like, it just felt like a big moment. And, you know, it felt like almost like a knockout game, you know, like, I keep coming back to the World Cup prism, but, like, it felt almost like, you know, a knockout game. So, huge, huge moment for Ross Byrne. And like I said, you know, to be delighted for him.
You mentioned the Ireland attack there earlier. Mike Katz said in the build-up to this game that the Ireland attack hasn't fired yet in this window. What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you'd have to give some allowances when you're playing against the Springboks because their defence is so good. And like we've already touched on, when Johnny Sexton wasn't playing last week, the standards dropped. When Johnny Sexton wasn't playing this week, the standards dropped. So you can still see how reliant they are on them. But when you don't have the platform, Sinead, it's very difficult to... For like, especially for Jack Crowley coming in making his first start, it's very difficult to expect an out half to play off that. Like I said, the breakdown was just so messy. I was sitting next to Rudd in the press box, and we were actually talking about this midway through the first half. We just haven't seen Ireland get into too many of their shapes with the front row getting on the ball. Like, it happened once or twice, but not too often. You're kind of wondering. I doubt this is the case, but you're kind of wondering if they're keeping almost something back a little bit because, you know, maybe teams are figuring them out a little bit. So that is the big challenge, because we've seen it happen after 2018. Ireland thought they had it figured out, that, you know, they were the number one ranked team in the world. Their attack was firing, albeit in a very, very different way. Whereas now the challenge is to make sure they keep adding strings to their bows, because I think it has been evident over the three games and actually in the A game that opposition teams are doing their homework more than ever now. Like, why wouldn't they? When you have such a brilliant attack, defence coaches are going to be all over that to try and shut it down. So that's the big challenge for Ireland. And I would go back to my original point. My glass is definitely half full. Even though if teams are figuring them out, Ireland are still finding a way to get the job done and get these wins. Because I think a couple of years back, this is the type of game that they probably would have lost at the end. And like you said, when Bundiaki scored that try, and it was a great moment for Bundiaki, to be fair as well. Like, I mean, he's been out for the last 2 months by his own doing, it must be said, but a great moment to come back and score the try. But for Ireland to switched off and conceded a really sloppy try, I would say Andy Farrell would be furious with like Craig Casey ended up at the outside centre channel. Like, I mean, just totally disjointed. And the defence has been pretty good, you'd have to say, under Simon Easterby, with Andy Farrell obviously overseeing it as well. So there's plenty of scope for improvement. And, you know, again, is that really a bad thing? Like, if, you know, Australia hadn't turned up tonight and Ireland had pumped them, you know, are people going to get ahead of themselves? Like, wouldn't say it was a reality check by any means, but it just kind of keeps everything, you know, keeps everyone grounded, I would say. So it's a great way to finish the year. It's been a hugely successful year. Like, everyone will always remember what they achieved in the summer, but to round it off with a clean sweep of victories against two of the three big three Southern Hemisphere teams, which means in the same calendar year, I think it's the first time in 20 years a team has beaten the big three Southern Hemisphere teams in the same year. So look, when you rattle off those kind of stats and stuff, you can't really argue with what they've achieved. But like I said, plenty of scope for improvement.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Keane. Thanks very much for that. Well, that's it from us. I'll have a special podcast from Sunday's World Rugby Awards here in Monaco, where the likes of Josh Vanderfleer and Johnny Sexton are in the running for Men's Player of the Year. They'll be flying over here on Sunday. So we'll see how that night goes. Till then, though, bye for now.